You're listening to Around Comics, episode 247, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Cadence Comic Art, and Netflix. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week a revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. Stop it, Tom. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics.
The guest did it first. I was covering for him.
Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Hey there, folks. I'm not the one dropping bottle caps and keys on the table. I'm Christopher Niesman. Okay, Tom, joined by our resident Foley artist.
I just
artist.
Pulled up on a horse and threw my keys on the table.
Mr. Tom Caters, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm recovering from Wizard Chicago Comic Con. So
it's because you actually shake people's hands and touch them.
Yeah.
Do you hug people?
I do hug people.
I don't.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what I did to Pat Wojcicki, but that wouldn't be proper.
Oh my lord!
But
dirty,
yeah.
That's why you get sick.
I got the James Earl Jones voice. Actually, I told my wife today. It's like, yeah, I'm working on my best B. Arthur, and she's like, yeah, don't go for James Earl Jones. That's my husband. Thanks, honey.
So she wants to make love to a man with B. Arthur's voice. All women do.
So for my wife, I'm going with the James Earl Jones, and I'll try not to hack and cough too much this evening. But let's introduce our other two guests. One is a returning guest, people in the Chicagoland area, and also folks and our other Foley artists. Folks, you actually available on the internet, known as the head guy at Geek to Me. You can find him in Chicago's Red Eye newspaper here in Chicago, or online at Geek to Me. He is Mr. Elliot Serrano.
I am surprised you invited me back.
Elliot, you're always a good guest, and I'm surprised that you came back because we always shortchange you because I always talk about you on Geek to Me and what you do for the Red Eye, but I never talk about your comic book work because you're actually a comic book writer.
Well, we like to talk about legitimate mediums when we have the opportunity, as opposed to comic books.
That's true. And we'll talk about you saving Obama a little bit later.
All right. Yeah, Ash Saves Obama hits comic shops August 19th.
There you go. That's about the time this comes out. So. Yeah. So that's perfect, and we will talk about your work with Army of Darkness and Xena and the POTUS. You've been writing the POTUS.
The POTUS.
And our other guest, longtime listener of the show, one of the official photographers of the Windy City Comic Con. You may know him on various forums as L. Dave. We just know him here as Dave Mathis. Sir,
how's welcome it going, Chris? Aboard.
Good. Is this your first go?
Yes,
on AC?
Yep.
Wow, we had Kyle Bice last week and you this week.
We should label the new chair like the hot, Round Comics Hot Seat.
It's, you are.
Sponsored by
Budweiser.
Budweiser. Yeah.
You're in the hot seat.
Well, Chris hugged me last weekend, so I sound really terrible.
Was it you?
Yeah.
Are you patient zero? I'm gonna have a little cough medicine here.
I'm gonna go out on a limb.
You shared that with me. I appreciate it.
I'm gonna go out on a limb, Chris, and say that it's not just the con that you get sick from. I'm sure your lifestyle that weekend is not the healthiest.
You know, Tom. Yeah. And as I tweeted this to you, and I know it's surprising to know, I was not an obnoxious drunk. Not even
you
once.
You didn't spill
this weekend.
A beer on yourself while trying to fix your hat?
I dropped a full bottle of ginger ale in front of
me. But you were stone cold sober when you did that.
I was stone cold sober. I was a little tired. Yeah. No, there were no alcohol mishaps this weekend. I was very well behaved, and I was trying to not get sick, completely failed. And I was telling you it's Friday as we record this. I haven't had a drink since Sunday, so I've got a little whiskey here to help the pipes.
Chris showed up in like a tuxedo, freshly shaved, like nice looking, and he had one beer. And all of a sudden, he started slouching, and the beard grew in a little bit, and
hair
the tuxedo
falling out.
Fell apart, and there was a baseball jersey underneath it, and back to normal.
I feel so much better.
I walked in, and he's like, "Why, hello!
Hello there!
I'm thinking of a format change."
Let's just talk about comics.
Just talk about comic books.
You know. Well, I tell you what, talking about comic books, and a good place to buy said comic books is InStockTrades.com, and waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStock Trades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, showcases, omnibus editions, absolute editions, showcase. Did I already mention the showcases? Essentials? All that. Anything. If it's collected, it's at InStockTrades.com. And coming up later this week, I swear to God, because we're going to record it tonight, is our talk on our book club selection, Justice League International.
Oh, is that this week? Oh, my
God.
It
will be later.
I didn't
this
finish
week.
It in time.
Oh, studying.
You finished it 20 years ago. You can still pick that up at InStock for $47 off the cover price, and this comes out on Monday, so look for Thursday, Friday-ish for our book club selection, where we talk about the first edition of the Bwahaha era of Justice League. So that's coming up, and you'll have the announcement for our new book club selection, which is Tom's pick, and I was relieved because it's something I've already read, but it's something I wanted to read a lot more about. So there's your
Lost Girls.
Yes. Way to
right,
go.
Guys?
Oh, yeah.
I just picked that up myself.
Did you?
Yeah,
I picked it up. That was nice of Top Shelf to re-release that as a kind of a not cheaper. Well, yeah, it was cheaper version. The $40 version. Was it $40?
Yeah, $40.
Yeah, it was still nice.
It's very nice. No, yeah.
I've not taken nice. A look at it at all.
No, really? You're saving. Well, you get married in about a month, so you're saving that for wedding night, maybe?
Yeah, I'm going to break it out and be like, here's some
Sam,
fairy tales.
Erotic.
There's a scene with a shoe you
definitely want to check out.
Definitely want to check it out.
All right. Well,
I just haven't gotten like, it's always, it's like one of those books that's always sealed.
Yeah.
So like, I can't crack it open to like be like, I just want to take a look at it, you know?
Just look.
Yeah.
I went by the Top Shelf booth at Comic Con, and Chris Staros was there, and they had a copy of Lost Girls you could have flipped through. But yeah. I said to him, I said, I don't know, I'm torn between Lost Girls and Owlie. What should I do? He said that's the most common problem we get here is people can't choose between. So they get both. He was trying to sell me both.
Need to leave some breathing space in between them when you're eating. You don't want to get your Owlie in your Lost Girls.
And you don't want to get confused on where you read one and the other. You know, you don't want to leave.
It's quite an erotic owl story.
Chris Staros is a king of a man. I cannot wait for he and all the folks from Top Shelf to come up to Windy City this year. As I was really happy for Chris, I was supposed to pick up much product from him at Comic-Con this past weekend and keep it here so he didn't have to ship it up for Windy City because he's in Georgia. And he sold out of everything. So
wow,
it was kind of a happy mishap.
Yeah,
so
well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into our comic stock, last thing, our featured music today, one of my favorites, decided to go with the Afghan Whigs.
Okay.
Big Greg Dooley fan, and I might even throw in a little music from Backbeat, where it's Dooley on lead vocals, but all covering Beatles songs for the Backbeat movie from about, gosh, a decade or so back. I had Dave Perner and Dave Grohl were in that band among. It was kind of like an all-star of the alternative music guys at the time. So I might.
You might do that? Who knows?
I might do
you're
that.
You're going to have to now.
I'm
going
to have to.
Or you could edit. I guess you could edit this out if
I'll throw some in. But the rest of it is all going to be Afghan Whigs. Because I can always come back with some Twilight singers later. I love Greg Dooley. He's one of those guys like, man, I wish I could be like Greg Dooley. Maybe with his voice, I'm getting closer, but that's about it. All right, guys, what's up? Let's talk about some comic books. It's been we've had a convention come and go here in Chicago, but lots of good comic book news coming out and some really good comics in the last couple weeks. So
as always,
Tom, you always start us off,
All right.
And it looks like you've got a lot to talk about tonight. What do you got for us?
My first one I want to talk about is from Avatar. It is Frankenstein's Womb.
Ooh.
Another graphic novella similar to Crisay and what was that? Aerial?
Etheric Mechanics.
Etheric Mechanics, yeah. So it's like a prestige-bound black and white book, you know, thick, larger than normal. It is written by Warren Ellis with art by Marek Oleksicki.
Boy, Avatar.
I don't know
so
where
good.
The fuck these guys are coming from.
Avatar is great about having all these great artists that you've never, ever, ever heard of.
And I don't know how long it takes them to do this shit. But, you know, I think in previous couple episodes we had talked about Garth Ennis and how I'm not the biggest boys fan. And I kind of think there's a bipolarness to Ennis and that, like, some of his stuff I really like and it seems like he's really trying. And the other half kind of seems sort of like, yeah, whatever, you know, like what? And I kind of think the same way about Ellis.
Here's a paycheck.
Warren Ellis, you know, I've never been a big fan of a lot of his superhero stuff. You know, his original stuff on The Authority was really good, but I always kind of felt that was sort of what he had to say about superheroes, and everything else has been kind of
His mainstream stuff since then is kind of tailed
the
off.
Yeah. Iron Man was pretty good. He did some interesting stuff.
Yeah, Extremis was fantastic.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Well, has there ever been? By the way, folks, Dave is the as Tom is to the Flash, Dave is to Iron Man.
I like the Ellis stuff. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was very good.
I thought it was right in his wheelhouse, as we like to say.
Absolutely, that hit all of his strengths.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of his stuff, like, and I didn't really like his Thunderbolts and any of the other stuff. But I've loved almost all of his Avatar stuff, even. The superhero stuff has had a little bit more of like an edge to it. And I think it's...
Even Black Gas was a good zombie book.
But especially the novellas he's been doing, I think have been the best stuff he's been doing the last couple of years. This is all about, as I crack open the book so I can remember all the names, because in Europe back in the 19th century, everyone had four names. And it was very hard to keep track of it. So as I was thinking about it. So it's all about the author that wrote Frankenstein.
Mary Shelley?
Yep, Mary.
Those are two of the four.
Yeah. God. As Mary Wollstonecraft Godwin with her husband-to-be Percy Bysshe Shelley are going to, with Claire Claremont, to visit George Gordon Byron. You know, so that's how everyone's got like four names. So they're traveling through Europe and they stop at a castle that's been abandoned. She goes in to check it out and she has like a vision of Frankenstein, the character Frankenstein. It tells us about the actual historical roots of where the Frankenstein myth comes from a doctor who used the same methods and he signed his letters from Frankenstein because that was the name of the castle or the town they were in. And it really is just sort of almost a story just about how the stuff that she foresaw in Frankenstein has really come true. You know, there's a very from hell portion of the book where all of a sudden the Frankenstein vision she has can take her into the past and take her in the future, and he knows what happens to everyone. He knows what happens in the future, and he takes her into the future and shows her someone being resuscitated with a defibrillator.
Defibrillator.
You know, so he's like, he's brought to life with electricity from, you know, all the things that you come to see happen, and about how her writing Frankenstein's a turning point of like technology and seeing how science fiction would happen in the future and
like
how
embryonic
she was very modern.
Research.
Just like what a turning point it is and how her own life mirrors that same thing and how she had a child that died very young and is Frankenstein part of that as well. Like it's like an image from her head of the child that she lost, what its potential could be. Huh. And it was really cool. It was very different. You know, all three of these novellas he's done have been very different. Like Crisay was historical fiction that was very rooted in like this is what war was like. Etheric Mechanics was a parallel world story. And this was a very interesting exploration of an author as opposed to just being like Frankenstein story. And the art is, as all of them have been, is fantastic. And like all Avatar books, it smells great.
Yeah. And I love that it was a prestige format, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's really long.
Mini trades. They're mini trades. Yeah. And I think that I'm not going to say that this is nearly on par with Alan Moore's America's Comics stuff, But I think that in a few years, we might start looking back at the Warren Ellis era at Avatar and saying, wow, he did some really fantastic work while he was at Avatar.
I wish he could just churn out more of these because every single one's been like, oh, that was, you know, that was incredible. And it's all about, it's got parts about religion, about how the author's father had certain ideas about religion and her mother died in childbirth and how she's this weird mix of all these different things of faith and science and how the world goes after the whole Frankenstein myth and where it all comes from. And I thought it was way more fascinating than the Frankenstein story I thought it was going to be, because it was really more about the author and her vision and where it came from. And
at this
meant.
Point, that's incredibly more entertaining and interesting than yet another Frankenstein story.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of history parts in it about really what her life was like, what her father was like, and how it all ties together. So it's got a little bit of the Crusade part to it with history, but it's got a little bit more of like a fantastical edge to it. Because of course, there's a Frankenstein monster, you know, narrating and guiding her through history. So I loved it, and I was like, oh, yes.
What's the cover price on that? About $6-$7?
$6.99.
Okay, $7. Yeah, and everyone that I've read in that format has been well worth it. Etheric Mechanics is...
Those are fantastic.
Oh,
so I wish that was a series. As opposed, when I got to the end, I was like, oh, I kind of wish it didn't, that it didn't end, that there was more to it, because I was like, oh, that's a great idea for a story. But this is definitely, this has an end. It's like, that's, it fits perfectly to this format. Yeah.
The end.
It fits perfectly to the format. So if you like Frankenstein, you'd probably be interested in it because it goes a little bit into the history of where it comes from. Interested in the creative process. It's got a lot to do with that. And I mean, the art is different from what we've seen from the other ones. So it's still very detailed, but very moody. Emotional, like a lot of it's people talking most of the time, but still they find a cool way to make it very dramatic and very interesting to look at, even though it's just a Frankenstein monster talking to a woman. You can see the emotion in all the characters' faces and you can get the idea of drama from it.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. I will have to, Mark pulled that aside for me last week, and I have not had a chance to get to it. As usual, you're way ahead of me, Tom.
I'm ahead of the curve on most things, Chris.
I know you are. That's one thing I've learned over the last 4 years.
I read everything by the next show, by the next time I pick up my books. I'm never behind on my books.
Every comic that will come out on Wednesday, you have already
read by the next Wednesday.
How's next week?
Next week's great.
Nice.
There's a few disappointing things, but I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
Somebody dies in a book. somebody comes back. Not in the same book. I must
confess, I love it all. This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Cadence Comic Art. You've heard me talk about buying original art on the show before, and now I want to let you know about the best place on the internet to find your next piece of original art. Whether you're looking for that one piece from your favorite artist, or you're wanting to build your own comics room art gallery, Cadence Comic Art is the first place you should go. CadenceComicArt.com has the easiest to navigate and most well-organized site for original comic art I've seen. You can find original art from some of Around Comics' favorite artists and past guests of the show, including Scotty Young, Mike Norton, Tim Seeley, Chris Burnham, Jamal Igel, Jeremy Hahn, Ryan Stegman, Sean Murphy, Brent Schoonover, Mike Gatos, and more. And superstar artist David Lloyd has just become the newest creator to join the Cadence Comic Art family of artists. Cadence Comic Art makes buying original comic art fast and easy. They ship worldwide and have fantastic customer service. Check out their brand new site for a full list of artists and see for yourself how easy it can be to start your own original art collection at CadenceComicArt.com. That's www.cadencecomicart.com. And remember, if you're coming to the Windy City Comic Con, drop by the Cadence Comic Art booth. have for us? And you can even talk about the book that you have coming out if you would so like.
Well, I don't want to be too self-promoting, but okay. So before I talk about my books,
tradition,
what are my two favorite books right now? Invincible Iron Man.
I've been digging that.
Matt Fraction.
Wow, David. Dave was gonna like reach across the table and hug you, man.
I've been really digging it too. I've liked a lot. I've liked it quite a bit as well.
The Eisner Award winning.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right.
And with
because
with
of
good
me.
Reason.
because of what?
With good reason.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a great story.
I said because of me.
Oh, because of you?
Yeah,
because
I just kept
he's been pushing
over
it, yeah.
I don't think that's how the Eisners work, Dave.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
know where you were voting, but those
voted,
didn't, those
I
didn't
voted
count
for
anything.
It somewhere a lot.
I'm not the biggest Salvador LaRocca fan in the world, but he's actually held that book together pretty well.
Considering how he's been noted to have issues with deadlines and
yeah.
he's working really mm-hmm. slow, he has been the look on the book has been really consistent, and it mm-hmm. just... I'm just blown away by it, and I'm also really looking forward to the redesign that they're doing on the trade dress and a lot of the stuff that they're going to be pushing the boundaries of how the book's going to look. So, but Matt Fraction's just been doing an incredible job, and I'm enjoying what he's doing with Pepper Potts, with Maria mm-hmm. Hill.
It's very cinematic.
It is. It's incredibly and I never cared about Maria Hill before.
No. Yeah.
No.
But
I always wanted to.
You feel like you were supposed to.
Yeah, yeah. It's like wow. Okay,
she just kind of showed up, and
yeah, yeah. It's like I want to like this character, you know. But
well, it wasn't even like or dislike. It's like you didn't feel anything for her before in Iron Man. In the first time you meet her in that book, you automatically got the character, mm-hmm. which was what I really admired Matt mm-hmm. Fraction for doing. He really seems to be able to write female characters really well.
Well, you know, we talked about Warren Ellis a minute ago, and I think it may be unfair to call Fraction an Ellis disciple. I think there's definitely a lot of they publicly talk about knowing each other, and Matt talks about the influence of Ellis on his work, and I think that you see that, and that is why Iron Man is in Matt's wheelhouse just as much as the Extremis storyline in Iron Man was in Ellis's wheelhouse. They really get they have a both of those guys have a great feel for the techno terror mm-hmm. that's out there, mm-hmm. and he understands that, and you get the feeling that both those guys know what's going on in the world, and they are as ahead of the curve as Tom is with comics when it comes to techno.
Yeah. I've read next year's comics. Don't ask me how. Nanites.
You are a comic futurist.
Yeah,
Tom.
Exactly. Just like Fraction is not. But I've been really impressed by the thing I like about it is that it's very cinematic, and it avoids a little bit of the cutesiness that sometimes Fraction has in his stuff. Like there's a little too much cleverness sometimes, but he's kind of avoided that with Iron Man, mm-hmm. and it just seems really straightforward, and it's got a real drive to it, and it's just it's a really long story that it's in right now too, right. and it's been really good. The whole idea of Tony Stark trying to erase his own memory so that Norman Osborn can't get his information in his head, so Tony's becoming stupider while he's traveling on, and it's like lots of explosions and standoffs. It's been very entertaining.
Well, I like what they've done with the Iron Man character, and you know, Dave, I'll let you, Elliot, and Dave talk about this. As far as
Dave, how do you feel about what they did to Iron Man?
As an Iron Man fan, Tony Stark has had a really nice spotlight for the last what, 3 years
now? Longer, yeah. Since about Civil War.
How did Civil War make you feel?
I thought it was great.
Really?
Iron Man won.
Yeah. Iron Man would win. Of course he would.
Yeah, bitches.
Yeah. That dude with the shield.
turned Tony Stark into such a dick in Civil War. Yeah. I'm telling you. I couldn't stand that.
That's the way the character's been. It's like every 10 or 15 years, he makes that switch.
That's
from
true.
Good guy to
that's
complete
true.
Asshole.
So. Right. And then they reboot him as a teenager.
No.
Then they go,
I don't remember that at all.
They just update,
I don't remember that happening.
That's gone.
They just update the war that he was fighting whenever he
created. when they reboot the character, reboots Dave. He doesn't remember any of this. He doesn't remember what happened.
It's always been the Middle East.
I just reappear right now. Every time he gets
He was never a teenager.
Yeah. You love Iron Man Armored Adventures, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, actually, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun show.
It is a lot of fun.
You know. This is funny how they do manage to go back to that though.
Always.
One way or another.
Always. You know. He's an easy character to do it with. I mean, he's not tied to one specific event. It's just okay, tragedy, gets the armor, go.
Yeah. And it's always tech. It's always high tech.
Yeah.
And there's always new tech to dial into. I just want him to bring the briefcase back.
Oh, that would rock.
Oh, fitting the suit in the briefcase.
I love that.
I don't know, after hitting a guy with a briefcase for 40 years. You kind of get tired of it, but...
Lugging it around, yeah. Lugging that suitcase.
That's got to be heavy.
That was the most ridiculous thing, looking back on it. It's like, yeah.
Fitting high-tech suit in a suitcase, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was magnets, and it would pull the...
Oh, sure it was.
Yeah, it that was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very good magnets. That, yeah.
He's a smart guy. He can make good magnets.
If anyone can fit an Iron Man suit in a suitcase, it's Tony Stark.
Well, yeah. Oh, wait, excuse me. The Flash fan, you don't have a problem with the Barry Allen having a whole suit in his wallet?
Oh, because there's a shrinking glass.
Oh, there you go. That makes perfect sense.
Everyone knows that Tony Stark doesn't get along with Hank Pym.
No,
Hank Pym's
doesn't.
Not going to give him the shrink. Ray Palmer in the Flash, like that, come on. Barry Allen could totally get
Iron Man would just take it and copyright it.
Yeah.
That's Stark Tech now, bitch.
That's Stark Technology
charge
now.
Charge Hank Pym every time he turned into Ant-Man.
That's Stark Technology now. But I have enjoyed sort of the Norman Osborn versus Tony Stark dynamic, because Norman Osborn is like really smart, but not as smart as Tony Stark. Right. And I was like seeing, it's like the same thing whenever Hank Pym gets in an argument with
Reed
Mr.
Richards?
Fantastic. It's the really smart, there's like in a hierarchy, like the only person smarter than you is this guy, and he's dicking you over right now.
there's definitely like glass ceiling the guys like Pym run into. But I'm Hank Pym.
That was
the
Doom and Reed thing forever. Doom was always brilliant, but Reed was always just a little bit more.
A little bit smarter. So it's fun to see Norman Osborn like trying to take the suit apart, and he's like, I don't get how this works.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't understand how this works. How did he get this thing to work?
Yeah, but the thing that kills me is that the only way Norman Osborn even stands a chance against Tony Stark is that they're making Tony Stark dumber in his book. You know, beyond that. I mean, Tony.
And he's still winning.
Yeah. And it was the one thing that annoyed the crap out of me in Secret Invasion is that Tony Stark was less incompetent. You know, he was totally taken by surprise by everything that happened. And for a guy who's supposed to
be. Was that Spanish?
Yes.
Oh.
He said he was incompetent.
Oh,
for our English speaking, for our English speaking audience.
This episode will be subtitled.
But come with written English script.
It just seemed out of character that a guy who's supposed to be a futurist gets totally taken by surprise by the future.
Well, you would think that a guy that lives on Earth in the Marvel universe would be ready for an alien invasion at any point. But
I think though you always have the streak of hubris though with Stark too. There's always like the thing where like his biggest problem is he thinks he knows everything. You know, he thinks that he's planned ahead for everything possible. So I think it kind of doesn't make sense in that sense of like when you know, but it also kind of fits into the idea that his big problem is always himself.
Yeah,
like he doesn't.
It fits the character.
Yeah, he probably got drunk. He probably spilled a beer on his Skrull file.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Oh, whatever."
I don't know.
They'll never
this.
Show up. Those guys suck. They never get anything. These guys can never figure anything out.
Have you not read early Fantastic Four issues? Those guys are idiots.
Bunch of assholes.
These guys got turned into cows.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about
them. They're just dolts.
Yeah,
they can never get anything together.
As long as Tony Stark doesn't end up as Sam I Am, you know. At the end of the whole thing. Give me Rain Man. Let him be, you know.
I think there's like still three more parts to that story. It's like a 12-part story.
Yeah, he's progressively going back in memory and his armor. So at the end of it, he'll be in the gray suit again, probably.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/AroundComics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/roundcomics and get started with your free trial today. Well, you know,
that would be pretty cool,
Dave. You'll get a pick here, but we have
you're on the hot seat.
You are on the hot seat.
You're on the hot seat.
You are the guy that I went to and said, "Hey, Dave, I would like to read some Iron Man stories. What are some good ones to start with?" And
he called you a poser.
Yeah,
said, "Fuck you, buddy."
He didn't even ask. I just started shoving books at him.
Nah. Here you go.
But what some of your favorite Iron Man stories, new and old?
The one that I was talking to you about most recently was Iron Man: The Inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an out of continuity story.
I
know.
I don't care.
Well, now I'm sad that you don't care.
Well, it was kind of.
Oh, I don't care. It's out of continuity.
It's not that it was fill in, but while Ellis was telling his Extremis story, it was
in the
heavily delayed.
The 2.5 years for the six issues of Extremis, they put this out, and. It was Joe Casey and I think Fraser Irving, and it was and it was a story that reintroduced a bunch of his old villains and tried and updated them in the same way that he'd been updated, and it was a fantastic story. It was really solid. And then anything from the recent reboot from the Warren Ellis stuff on, and then prior to that, all of his good stories are already in trade.
So, I picked up Doom Quest.
Yeah.
This past weekend, which is
McLeany
and Bob Layton, mm-hmm. and actually John Romita Jr.
on
layouts with Layton finishes, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really cool stuff. And that's 1980s mm-hmm. Iron Man? Yeah, which mm-hmm. I always love the idea of Iron Man and Doctor Doom.
The old time travel stories.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doctor Doom and Iron Man in King Arthur's court.
Yeah,
you gotta love that.
Tony Stark hangs out with Merlin a lot.
That's sad. A lot, almost
a lot.
To the point where Merlin's like, "Is this guy gonna
seriously?
Can you leave, dude?
God, go home, Tony.
Let's go home."
Now, are you an Armor Wars fan?
Yes, I really like the Armor Wars story. Did you read the one that most recently came out, the new miniseries?
Mm-mm.
It's got a Scotty Young cover.
Oh.
And it's really solid. It seems to be more like the movie Tony Stark and Jim Rhodes.
Okay.
So I don't know anything.
Don Cheadle or Terrence Howard?
In between, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
draw them in between.
Yeah.
These are the two guys that could be in.
We're not sure which one yet, so.
Jumbo.
Yeah, the first issue came out last week or the week before, and it's really solid. So. Yeah.
I never thought I'd like the way that that Scotty draws Iron Man because he has a real organic feel to his art. But his Marvel Adventures Iron Man covers are fantastic.
Yeah,
love them. That's, love them.
Yeah, if I could get those as a pinup,
oh,
absolutely,
they're great. They're great. But do you have we've tapped you for your Iron Man knowledge? Do you have a comic that you would like to talk about?
We've used you now.
Oh, all right, I'll go home.
You're done. Next.
He's reaching for something.
I'm not fucking surprised.
I'm down at the end of the rack, so I can't reach Iron Man.
So you reached the next closest.
I reached War Machine.
I see a theme here. Yeah. I can't tell what it is, but a theme's developing.
What did I do this for?
For anyone that hasn't read the series, this is issue 8. The basic premise is Jim Rhodes, after Secret Invasion, Tony Stark is offline. He his brain. He got shut down. I don't speak Spanish, so I can't repeat what you said.
I'll shut down now.
Yes.
No mas.
He tells, Jim Rhodes gets a recording saying, go to the satellite because I'm dead. You have to take over now. And Jim Rhodes goes to the satellite, gets the armor. And now it is Jim Rhodes' job to go through and go around the world and punish mass murderers. So he's got a supercomputer in his head that as he's looking around the room, it's giving him the information about the person, their name, their age, height, weight. And there's a kill tally. How many people they're directly responsible for killing.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's such a ridiculous way. That's awesome.
Isn't it? It's not subtle at all. He's looking at a little kid and, okay, four. All right. Yeah. And then he looks at his dad, 37. Okay, well, I got to take the dad first.
But how does a computer know this?
It's a very smart computer.
Stark knows everyone.
It's a Tony Stark.
It's Stark tech. Don't ask questions. Yes,
it's...
He should loan this stuff to the FBI, you know, so that way they...
Well, they can have it if they pay.
there's no loaning in Tony Stark's world.
It's very expensive.
It's all proprietary.
In the most recent story arc, Ultimo, the giant android, has been dismantled and his three main components have been spread all over the world. and Jim Rhodes is trying to track the pieces down. And along the way, he's killing a lot of people because that's what he does, and his old teammates on the West Coast Avengers find out, and they don't really understand why he's just gunning people down left and right because they don't have a kill tally.
They don't know how many people. They don't have the kill tally viewmaster.
They don't have the overlay.
Yeah,
and they're also the West Coast Avengers.
And they didn't know.
They frown. The Avengers charter frowns upon
killing. It's not. People. Yeah, you have to sign that you won't kill anybody, and he signed, and now he's killed a lot of people. But they see him. The piece is on a commercial airline, and someone has stolen is taking it, and he's going in to. Okay, I've got to take this guy out. I can go in quick, cut a hole in the airplane, kill the guy, and then steal the thing and fly away. And the West Coast Avengers decide, oh, that's a bad idea. We don't want you to shoot an airplane out of the sky. So a big fight breaks out, and the airplane gets shot out of the sky.
Can't they just talk about it? Like, well, reasonable people? Well,
they're the West Coast Avengers. Yeah.
Who are the West Coast Avengers these days?
Oh, let me see.
No,
are there actual West Coast Avengers?
I think it was the West Coast.
Okay, it's the 50 states initiative, or is this the old West Coast?
Well, Avengers? This is the old team. It says on the cover. Excuse me. Can the West Coast Avengers stop War Machine?
I think I saw Wonder Man involved.
Wonder Man. Let's see.
Mockingbird.
Clint Barton. Ronan.
Oh. Pff.
Ronan.
My question is, are they on the West Coast as this happens? Because Clint Barton keeps getting his butt handed to him by the Hood every time on the East Coast.
Well, yeah, there are...
Is Moon Knight in there?
No, Moon Knight is... No.
Oh, it's not real.
But Tigra is there, and she jumps from their little shuttle. Onto the space shuttle.
Okay, this isn't shaping up to be much of a fight, if you ask me.
Oh, well, it's pretty.
Yeah, it is very well drawn.
I mean, Hawkeye pulls his bow on War Machine.
He uses a bow.
Yeah, and that doesn't work.
Well, see, he's wearing the wrong costume for it.
It's an extremely accurate shot.
It is. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Someone explain to me how he's still Ronin. Someone just explain that to me.
I guess Ronin's an albatross around whoever... Gets that guy. It never works out.
Do you think he goes home at night and says, I hate this fucking costume?
When can I be... Just call me Clint Barton. I'll just wear a suit.
Can I just put a big purple H on the chest?
There's an evil Hawkman. Well, I'll just be Clint Barton. I mean, I don't need to...
Can I just be Clint? Anything.
They're like three Spider-Mans or two Wolverines. I don't know. What's wrong with two Hawkeyes?
Excuse me.
You know?
There's a Wolverine and a dark Wolverine.
baby, I call him Baby Wolverine.
Difference.
Baby Wolverine.
Baby Wolverine.
Baby Wolverine.
Well, that sounds cool.
It's a lot of fun. Because he's mostly machine, he has the ability to kind of rebuild himself from anything around him. So the more beat up he gets, he's a tank or an airliner or in here a space shuttle. Mm-hmm. He just rebuilds himself out of that. So
that's cool.
It's a really fun series.
Nice. I will have to check that out.
People getting killed.
Well, it's Marvel puts out everything in trade.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm sure I'll throw it at you sooner or later.
Okay.
Read this, asshole. Yeah,
and we did
shaking wildly.
Yeah,
he's excited.
We did mention that the comic book convention in Chicago Comic Con, was this past weekend.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite parts about conventions is hitting those $5 trade booths.
Yeah.
And I picked up a bunch of really cool stuff. But I found as I got home, most of them were World War II or World War II themed.
Chris has an affection for the Greatest Generation.
They are the Greatest Generation.
A fictional. You like the fictional version, though.
Yes.
I don't like old people.
That's how I got the con crowd.
There was a books about the 84 Cubs. What was that?
No.
The Greatest Generation.
No, not the greatest failure. In
oh.
No, these are about people that won.
Yeah, always win.
So, in addition to some awesome
fan.
10 World Series championships, thank you very much, and in first place right now, thank you.
Let's save this for the baseball podcast.
Yes, which will just be me being merciless to Cub fans. The White Brigade by Peter J. Tomasi. Why can I not say
Tomasi? Tomasi. Peter Tomasi?
By Peter J.
Tomasi.
Peter Tomasi. And Peter Schneeberg. See, I can say that one. The White Brigade came out, I want to say, about 5 years ago. I'm going to say 2004, 2005-ish. I'll find it here. Yeah, 2005. It was a mini series by DC proper. And it is a World War II era story that I can kind of give you the mashup description.
Yeah, give me the Hollywood pitch right now. I make this?
Hellblazer meets Saving Private Ryan.
Done. Movie made.
Done.
Let's Keanu Reeves.
And Tom Matthew Hanks. Damon.
Whoa. Keanu Reeves, Tom Hanks, Matthew Damon.
There you go. It's
Matt
done.
Damon!
It would actually probably work for this. Yeah. The Hellblazer part is that there is a war between heaven and hell. There are fallen angels.
Oh, there's always a war between heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Can't they just get along?
They need to solve that soon.
The setup is that this is Europe, 1944. And we're coming to the end of the war, and guys, you've got the veteran soldiers on the front lines that are really just trying to survive so they can get home. There's not much doubt that they're gonna take Berlin, and they're just trying to survive here in the last days of the war. The supernatural story is that there were angels that lived among men pre-flood, pre-Noah, and that God actually sent the flood to wipe out majority of the Earth's population, and these Grigori is what they're called, these angels that had been among men too long, and it actually started to mate with them.
Yeah.
And so it's these
straight banging
the offspring of these angels and people. They're called the Nefari, and I'm probably going to get that
Nephilim.
All.
Nephilim.
Nephilim. Yeah.
That's a biblical reference.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's a biblical reference.
And so these Nephilim and the remaining Grigori, which there's only one, have gone through time trying to find this God fire and a sword that if they reclaim the sword and light it with this fire, which actually emanates from the actual cross that Jesus was crucified on, then the Grigori could return to heaven and actually battle God.
Yeah.
And so these soldiers get caught up in this. It's the Saving Private Ryan part again. These soldiers get kind of wrapped up in this and become these soldiers of God, this light brigade, and they have to go and protect the cross that Christ was crucified on and defeat the Grigori. So it's that's your setup. Snaberg's art, if you've read Garth Ennis Battlefield,
Dear Billy.
He did the Dear Billy arc. Yeah. He also did a lot of work in Starman with James Robinson, and was the beginning artist on The Mighty. So nice. This guy's, he's been around for a day or two, and has a fantastic feel for World War II stories. And then Pete Tomasi, who's been writing some great stories at DC, some Green Lantern stuff. What else has he been writing?
Outsiders.
Yeah.
He did Nightwing for a while before it became something else.
I think he's one of those guys that is consistently very good, but doesn't have a lot of the name recognition like a Johns or a Bendis, but just writes really good stories. And this is, if you are a World War II fan that also enjoys, you know, Hellblazer-esque demons versus
an angel
angels kind
on
of stuff.
Human action.
Yeah.
If you're a fan
there's
of that.
There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of going on.
Ooh, hey.
Yeah, hey.
Not
hi,
for the kids,
how you doing?
Right?
You know, the religious aspect of it, it just,
it's offensive.
It just stops short of almost being preachy. It never gets to that. Oh, it's just God. A really good versus evil story.
You didn't convert to anything after?
No, I didn't go to confession, nothing like that.
What brings you here, my son? I just read a comic book series about angels having sex with humans.
Well, that's all. How can I pull
that off?
You'd be Jewish if you're
that's
gonna
that convert. Sounds hot, Father.
That sounds hot, Father. I've had improper thoughts about cartoon angels.
But no, it's a really good good versus evil in World War II setting, angels, demons, crosses, and hey, I got it for $5. So it retails for I think $19.99.
You won.
I think Snaberg is doing The Unwritten right now with.
Okay,
I think that's Peter Gross that's doing that, but Peter Gross looks like Snaberg.
Okay, and I loved Chris Somney him up on The Mighty. So okay. Snaberg's a guy that just kind of pops up. And it's like, ooh, I love his art. And
he showed up at my house.
His
once
Starman stuff was incredible.
He was a really nice follow up to Tony Harris's stuff on there. And I've become a bigger fan of his work as I've kind of come to recognize it. Mm-hmm. But this is like 4 or 5 years old. And just good World War II stuff.
You're right, Peter Gross.
He looks like Snaberg, though.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He's a disciple, one could say. Maybe they hate each other. I shouldn't say that. They might not. They might hate each other because they have similar styles. Who knows?
We have some email.
All right, let's go.
For me?
And if, no, not no.
And Tom.
Oh. Yes.
Tom Caters writes in and says, I won't be here this week.
Dave Mathis writes in and says, Chris, are you guys recording tonight? Yes.
Yes.
If you would like to email the show,
you've
you
just won a Google
so
lottery.
By emailing us at info@aroundcomics.com. Please put listener feedback in the subject line. All right. This one is from Rufus Jenkins. I was having a chat about
fake name.
I was having a chat about authors and books with a girl I've recently been seeing.
He's been talking to himself about this.
The topic of Stephen King came up, and she told me that she has never read The Stand. I thought about lending her my trade of the first volume of Marvel's adaptation. I could kill two birds with one stone. She'd get a chance to start reading this great piece of literature, and at the same time, I could show her that comic books are more than superhero and kid stuff. However, at the last moment, I decided not to bring it up. In my mind, I believed her first time reading The Stand should be the novel instead of the comic book. That way she can get the full story and visualize the characters and scenes herself instead of having them rendered for her in the artist's interpretation. I respect all of your opinions and wanted to know your take on this. When it comes to a novel that has been adapted to comics, should I direct the person to the comic? Especially if it's a novel someone is interested in reading, or should I let the person read the novel first and then show them the comic adaptation? I realize there have probably been some bad adaptations, but with The Stand and the upcoming Parker graphic novels, I feel this could be an interesting discussion. Thanks for taking the time to read my email. Thank you, Rufus.
I would say that the Parker one would be good because you get the whole complete thing in one shot. With The Stand, you're going to have to wait a couple years.
It's going to be 30-something issues. Yeah.
You're going to have to wait a little while to read the whole thing, which might be a little frustrating to someone that's just like, I just want to read The Stand.
Yeah.
Can I just read the book that's out and incomplete? You know, not to dissuade you from giving it to them, but if you're between the two, I'd give them the Parker one because that's it is the, you know, it's the book.
Yeah. And I think someone that's used to reading books, the presentation of Parker is perfect because it looks like a book.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was very conscious, I think, on IDW's part to package it that way. The jacket design, it looks like a book.
Yeah.
So
I think The Stand comic book is very much designed in mind for people who have read The Stand who want to read it as a comic book.
Yes.
I don't think it's meant to be like, if you're interested in reading The Stand, here's the 36 issue story that you gotta wait 3 years to read. It's for people who read comic books who also like,
and I'm loving it.
Yeah. With some curiosity between. So I'd give them something whole, something in one whole shot where you. And get the
Mike
thing.
Perkins has drawn the shit out of that book.
By way. I'm sure it's really good. Oh, it's just if she has an interest in reading The Stand, she might get frustrated in getting.
Yeah. Yeah, like, 3 years later, is it fucking over yet?
This book is out. I can read it. Why am I waiting? No, wait. The trade's coming out.
6 more months.
6 more months and the trade will be out. Don't worry.
Oh, I just want to read the fucking book.
How about you, Dave, Elliot? Any good novels that have been adapted to comic book form that you guys would suggest?
There's a lot I would like to try. Mm-hmm. The Fahrenheit 51, the Ray Bradbury.
Oh, cool! But you know, I tell you what, the price point scared me off on that.
Is it
$30?
That's not a big book.
It's not a big book, and it's $30.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I got the actual novel for like $1.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, that's tiny.
$30 for that?
Yeah, check it. I mean, it's pretty. Oh my God! Look who just came in.
Oh, it's Tony. It's
Tony Akins. You never know who's going to show up.
$30 for this?
Dave, you're out of here. No, I'm joking.
Okay. Let somebody else take this chair. It's hot.
That is shocking.
Yeah. Really? $30
for that. Man.
I was a little shocked.
The dust jacket is very smooth.
Yeah. That's the smoothest. That is a $30 dust jacket you got there, buddy.
I can't hold on to it.
It's, yeah. I mean, it looks nice, and I love the story, but yeah, I wasn't going to drop $30 on that. It was a little.
Well, I have no opinion then.
That was the one I was going to.
I was completely wrong.
Now I'm going to say no.
I hate all of them now.
Elliot?
I'm a snob. They don't even get half the movie adaptations right.
Yeah.
A lot of times I can't really think of anything right now.
Read The Hunter. The Parker The Hunter. It's fantastic.
All right.
Very good. Very good. Very cinematic, which it was weird for me because I've never read it, so I can't talk about how it stacks up against the novel, but I have seen Payback, which is one of my favorite movies, and so reading The Hunter, it was like, wow, okay, this is, yeah, it made me want to go back and watch Payback, but only the director.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'd have to read the book first and see how they compare. Because to me, again, the book, there is something about the book itself, what you have to bring to yourself, of yourself, to that experience. Yeah. And again, I'm just being a snob. So
I'm looking forward to
that. I'm still shocked that book cost $30.
Yeah, I know. It's what, 120 pages maybe?
What the fuck?
Maybe. It was hardcover.
Does it burn all your other books?
It might. It might.
Replaces them.
All right. Let me see here.
Next email is
from Thomas Carenti.
Okay.
Thomas Cater. Thomas Carenti. I am new to comics. The first book I ever bought was Thor 600. If that is any indication of my timeline.
Wow, so he is not afraid of picking something up halfway through.
Wow, yeah.
I'm going to buy the 600th issue of Thor. It's my first, wow.
Yeah, which is like part like 7 of 8 or whatever it was. So good on you, Tom. You must be a bold and courageous man, Tom.
To stick around.
My question is, and you know what? It was the second email we got in a month of someone that was their first comic was Thor 600.
Why Thor 600 of all things?
I have no idea.
Is he a big Norse mythology?
Which was the cover that had Thor listening to the iPod? What cover was
Thor
that?
Thor 600.
Yeah. That was a really clever cover.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe that might have been
Believe me, I repurposed that cover and put an AC logo on that iPod.
pretty clever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we stole that shit.
Oh, yeah, I stole that
we
shit.
We ain't proud.
My question is this. Where can I go to get a good price on recent back issues? My LCS has some, but it's mainly a gaming store that sells comics. And thanks to DCB Service being what they are, I am now going to go through them for my new books and forgo the LCS altogether. Where can I go to get recent books to catch up on current arcs or the arc that has just ended? I'm not looking for anything really old, just say the last couple issues of The Mighty or Punisher. He's got good taste for a new comic book fan.
That's why I think he's lying. This guy's got liar stink all over him.
I guess I could wait for the trade, but I'm just too impatient. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, guys, for
keeping... All right, new reader. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you can search around online. There's
My Comic Shop.
MyComicShop.com is a good one.
I've never looked for recent back issues. I've always only looked for the sad old shit that I buy.
Yeah. Well, Tom Caronte, if I say Tom, you'll think I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I don't know where you live, but my suggestion would be if there is a comic book convention anywhere near your hometown or city, go check that that convention out, and you can find a lot of comics that have come out in the last year for a dollar or less in the dollar bins, and you can shop to your heart's content. And, you know, don't be afraid of
waiting for the trade. Yeah, wait for the trade.
Especially with Marvel, because their trade schedule is so quick. Don't worry about waiting for Marvel trades. The DC trades are a little bit...
they take longer.
A little bit lagging, but lagging in time, not in quality. They take a little bit longer to come out. Even though Jack of Fables comes out like clockwork. Like
fucking clockwork.
Yeah.
The tax, death, taxes, and Jack of Fables are the three things you can depend on.
Yes, Vertigo comes out like clockwork. So, yeah, check out those conventions. You can look around online. My Comic Shop is one that I know a lot of folks use. All right, last one here, and then we'll wrap things up. Hey, Chris, or anyone who is interested in answering this question, I just recently came back to comics, believe it or not, but...
Thor 600 was the first issue I read.
But the RIP Batman story is what got me back. Now to get to the point, I am coming to Chicago for the Steelers versus Bears game home... Steelers versus what? Bears home game on September 20th.
Home?
I am arriving, blah, blah, blah.
Do you want to ride from the airport or something?
Apparently.
My phone number is.
He's asking, what are the must-sees in Chicago? He says, also, I've never gone to any con, and any advice you have regarding the Chicago con would be awesome. It looks like he's he's going to be in for Windy City. He says he was thinking of attending, but thinks that he will be overwhelmed by the whole thing. Finally, if any of you are interested, I would be interested in a good pub or a great watering hole suggestion while I'm in town. Okay, so he's coming in for a Bears game, so good on him.
Okay. Sounds like it was written by who's the guy that wrote Ulysses? Is there any punctuation? Oh, that was yours.
It was read by me.
That was read to you in that style.
There may have been a massive run-on sentence there, but it was me and my cold. And
no
my
punctuation.
So first of all, he is asking, what are some must-sees in Chicago? He's an out-of-towner. He's coming in for basically a long weekend. And we'll just go around here. Elliot, a must-see in Chicago for a first-time visitor?
Oh, the new Sears Sky Deck, the...
Tower.
The Big Willie.
Willis Tower.
The Big Willie.
But that ledge that is literally a piece of transparent glass that you can stand out and look straight down on the street.
Shit yourself.
Yeah. If you're not afraid of heights, you can go stand
there. You've
got
to do that.
Screw that. Tom? Tom works in the Willis Tower.
If it's nice out, go to Millennium Park.
The Bean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go check out that big metal bean. Maybe pickpocket some foreigners. What I do when I go down there
every day at lunch.
I dress up like a chimney sweep and I just wander around just cutting bags on just run away. That's what I do.
You gotta outrun the security guards on Segways.
Oh, it's no problem. Just go, you know,
go under the
fence.
Bean. They always get trapped in the bean looking at their own reflection.
Yeah, exactly. They get confused.
Dave?
The Field Museum.
Absolutely. You stole mine. Yeah. The Field Museum is amazing. And I'll go for a very obvious one. And after you're done at the Field Museum for 3 days going through there, go to the Art Institute of Chicago, because it is a world-class art museum.
Take an boat architecture tour.
Oh, yeah.
Which is sweet. And the aquarium is pretty sweet, too.
Yeah. It's anything downtown. If you are a first-time visitor to the city, anything that you do downtown, yeah, the architectural tour is an absolutely amazing way to see Chicago by boat, because there are rivers that run through the city.
There's a Mexican place downtown by the name of Chipotle. I recommend.
That's being, you're terrible.
It's very authentic.
They have multiple salsas that you can select,
and you can build your own.
Like, they're very freewheeling. There's a sandwich place called Subway that does a similar thing, but with
ironically sandwiches. Not on the subway.
No, it's above. It's a restaurant. Above ground. Don't worry, it's not in one of those trains.
All right, we'll skip to his third one and then come back to the second question, because it leads me into a good segue. Speaking of segues, any good watering holes? Chicago per capita has more bars than any other city.
You
can
just
in
drink
the
in
country.
An alley if you really want. I mean, you don't even need to find a place.
You're not going to hurt to find a bar in this city. And it depends on what you want to do, play pool or just a corner bar or a dance, whatever. There are more bars than Bush's got beans here.
Duke of Perth, great fish and chips.
Oh, there you go.
Duke of Perth.
Yes, absolutely. And he talks about he's never gone to a con before, and the Windy City Con is a perfect con for people that have never been to a con before.
He might be overwhelmed by the experience?
Don't worry.
Well, I mean, you won't be overwhelmed by our con. There's going to be a lot of people screaming in your – it's extreme. I mean, it's an extreme con where we're yelling at people. And
there's a lot of fights.
This is like, you're going to have to fight at least somebody.
Yeah.
If it's your first con, you have to fight. It's like Fight Club. You have to fight then.
And you have to sing the blues before you leave. You have to fight and sing the blues.
You probably get the shit beat out of you. But.
It gives me a chance to plug the show, because we have
as if you've been waiting. Is there going to be an opportunity to plug our show? Thank goodness this avenue is open for me.
We
have three new guests to announce, and I am incredibly excited. First of all, Richard Starkings emailed me this week, and his one of the colorists for Elephant Men, Gabe Bautista, is coming. And then he emailed me again and said, Moritat has decided to join.
They all sound foreign.
Moritat is from Seattle.
I don't know.
And he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. I'm so, so excited that he's coming. But
I don't consider Seattle part of America.
Not my America.
Yeah. He's not a real American.
It's not real America.
Can't you see Alaska from there?
Everyone in my family's got a first name and a last name.
but Moritat, the amazing artist from Elephant Men, is going to be joining us. And a lot of people don't know that the next gentleman is lives in the Chicago area whenever he's not living in France or Japan or anywhere else where there are foreigners, Tom. But I am incredibly excited to announce that Jeff Darrow is going to be a special guest at this year's show. And,
Is there going to be room for attendees at the show, or is it simply a trick that you've gathered all these people so you can get sketches from all of them?
Yeah,
was it suspiciously becoming a little bit like that? We're like, oh, we have five more people. I'm like,
The convention is in my living room.
And the everyone's door's now, locked.
Yeah, the door's locked. You all have to do a sketch for me.
Yeah.
Did you see Saw? It's going to be just like that.
It can be any character, but they have to be smoking a pipe and eating a steak. And I love Batman's Rogue Gallery. So hint. Go for it, hint. Everyone. Jeff Darrow.
Yeah, you can all draw while you're handcuffed together, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think
Jeff, you put the lotion on your skin, or you get the hose again. Mr. Starkings, you want to help me move this couch in my van? He's a big girl.
I You've moved on
to like a new level of stalking. You bring them to you now. You bring them to, you don't even bother because you're like, you're trying to maximize the amount of people you can
harass. My master plan finally come together.
Finally, I can gather all these people in one place and stalk them in one room.
Tony, put your phone down.
Warning people, he's like, a stalker. Goodness. Gather y'all in one place.
So yeah, it's about 82 guests now. And it's gonna be an awesome time. So WindyCityComicCon.com and is it Jamie here? We took everything that we like about big conventions and we boiled it down to a smaller convention. Yeah. So it is a very easy show if you are a first time con goer. It's not overwhelming. It's not, you know, a huge convention center. It's a community center. And it's a really nice,
a gentle storm.
Show. It is. It is a gentle.
Rolling Thunder.
Yes, it is a gentle show. So, yeah. And it's $10. So, you know, come on up. You can meet everyone from around comics.
Might hurt at first, but you'll enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. You'll be begging for more.
Oh, God. Ooh. I mean, that laugh made it creepier.
Now I've gone Jesus. Over the line. All right.
No, that's a big promise, Chris.
All right, let's wrap this one up real quick. Elliot, Ash saves
Obama number one comes out August 19th at your local comic shop.
And that is printed by
Dynamite Entertainment, owners of the Army of Darkness license. And you'll be able to pick that up. 4-issue miniseries. Starting off with Ash at a comic convention and who happens to be stopping by but the POTUS himself.
Well, he's a big Conan fan.
Big Conan, big comic book fan. We decided to take advantage of that idea, but we don't overplay it, and I try to play everything with the president as straight as I can until we get to Ash, and then it just gets ludicrous.
Then it's a little bit hard. It's a little bit harder.
And then by page three.
It's crazy. And yeah, it just – nuts. How much humiliation can you put Ash through in a book at a comic convention? We will see.
Nice.
We'll see.
Nice. And I want to next week's episode, I want to talk about the whole process of writing an Obama book. So which
magic 8-ball? Just magic 8-ball.
There you go.
Just shake. Would Obama do this? Ask again.
Obama was confronted with zombies. What would he do? You just sit there and you think about it. And
you would kick ass.
You try and meet them halfway.
No, of course.
Consensus builder.
Because he is
death panels. Death panels.
Nice. All right. Well, Tom. Yeah? 3 times a week. Tom versus the Flash.
Something like that. 2 or 3.
Yes.
Who knows?
Well, you're getting ready to get married.
Yep.
So is Tom versus the Flash coming to an end?
No. That's so fucking long, though. I still have like 130 to go.
You're going to be doing that for a long time.
Yeah, it's true.
Tom versus the Elongated Man is a long way off.
It's probably never going to happen.
Plus, he's back again. So are you going to include the Black Lantern Elongated
Man?
No,
there's a certain point in the mid-80s when comics stop being funny in a way that are funny and not sad.
You're going to have to, you're going to have to go back and pick out another one. So
it'd be like Aquaman. You had a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, I live for the day that it's Tom versus Aquaman.
Aquaman.
And the subtitle to that show will be, "No, you're the one that's
you're
lame.
The one that's lame." He's the king of the sea. It's like 75% of Earth. Can Superman command fish?
Hell
no. No, he probably used super ventriloquism at some point if he could speak fish's language, which he cannot.
How many bank robberies in the ocean?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many bank robberies in the Silver Age involved the ocean. there's a good story where it's like a Green Arrow Aquaman team up, and they both have these criminals that they've captured, and they break out, and the criminals are like, "Well, I'm going to go under the ocean, and I'm going to go to land." Like, who the fuck focuses on the ocean? Like, I'm going to be a crook who focuses on ocean. Like, it obviously wasn't successful, but
there's a lot of money in plankton.
But instead of just saying, "All right, Aquaman, your guy is on the ocean," your guy, there's a new guy in the ocean, you go catch him. Aquaman follows his guy to the land, and Green Arrow has to go underwater to deal with it. So, I mean,
of course.
Yeah, because they just dicked around half the time. They had everything wrapped up so tight, you could just goof around for like, I'm going to catch this guy in like 20 minutes. I don't care.
Then we're going to frolic.
Yeah, I'm going to have a big glass aquarium with all my fish friends that I'm going to troll around in a trailing behind a truck that I'm driving, which is what Aquaman did. So he had all his fish with him. Just dragging this tank through town with a truck. Waiting to catch him. Yeah. It worked out. He caught him.
Of course it did.
Of course he did.
You're already prepping. You're researching. That's not research.
That's not research. I was reading that anyway.
All right. You can hear more of me, and hopefully I'll be over my my raspy cough by this week on 11 O'Clock Comics with David and Vince and Wood. And Sal, I think, occasionally is doing this thing with Braxton and Matt Burden and Scotty called the League of Nobodies.
I think there's a lot of cultural problems because there's Southerners and foreigners, and like they don't all have watches.
It's a language barrier.
Yeah, it is a bit of a language barrier between all of them.
It's a major accent barrier for sure. All right. Well,
hello.
Governor?
What'd you say?
Scotty's like, I can't understand
any of you. Speak English, motherfuckers.
All right, I want to thank everyone for being here this evening. Dave Mathis, Elliot Serrano, Tom Caters, and Mark Beatty, as always, for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. We will be back again next Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime.
Oh, in between time.
Thank you, sir. We'll be everywhere.
Thank you. You never thank yourself for all the work you do.
You know what?
Let me do it. Thank you, Chris.
Tom,
that nice?
You just made it all worth it.
Yeah. You've been waiting 247 episodes for me to thank you.
It's all worth it now.
Yeah,
thank
now
you.
It's done. It's over now.
We'll be everywhere again.
Around.
I need the best.
Comics. Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye, everyone. I make it sound like this is the final episode. Goodbye.
See you on September 19th, and then we're done.
I killed
them. That's all right.
Hear me now, and don't forget, I'm not the man my actions would suggest. A little boy, I'm tied to you, I fell apart, that's what I always do. This ain't about regret, my conscience can't be
expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009.